Higher oil prices, a good sign or a bad omen?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its day. Coming up, oil prices are at a two-year high. We'll look at the pros and cons of that. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The Dow is down 52 points at 11,520. The NASDAQ down about 0.6%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.4%. Here's another number for you, 3,000. That's how many flights have been canceled as a result of the Northeast blizzard that's disrupting travel from the West Coast all the way to Europe. It's also causing the New York Stock Exchange to alter rules because of low expected trading activity today. Now to those higher oil prices. In overseas trading, a barrel of crude is going for more than $94. That's a two-year high. Julia Coronado is chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's live with us now from snowy New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So first, the good. Higher oil prices, I guess that means a stronger demand for oil, which means maybe a stronger economic recovery. Am I right?
Certainly, that's one of the things driving oil prices higher are indications that the American economy and other places around the world, economic activity is picking up, and that means stronger energy demand and higher oil prices.
So that's the good side of things. But obviously, we saw some very high oil prices, much higher than we're seeing right now, right before the economy collapsed back in 2008. How much risk is there that high prices in oil, which then lead to high prices at the gas pump, could stifle the economic recovery?
Well, that's exactly right. Right now, the recovery still is at a fairly fragile state. And, of course, higher oil prices mean that consumers have to spend more of their money on gasoline and less money on other goods and services that could actually stimulate the economy. So we're at a delicate stage, and it could be that these higher oil prices act as a tax and undo some of the stimulative effect of, for example, the fiscal package that was passed recently that's trying to put more money in consumers' pockets. The higher gas prices will tax some of that benefit away.
Now, Julia, we're around $94 a barrel right now. Is there a good balance? Is there a good price that we should be looking for oil?
Well, right now, I'd say, you know, there is certainly going to be somewhat of a drag on consumer spending from the higher oil prices, but it's not necessarily devastating if we continue to see better economic signs. In particular, we need to see stronger job creation. If job creation really picks up and we see income growth picking up, then, of course, that can more than offset higher gasoline prices. So that's what we're going to be looking for in the next few weeks.
All right, Julia Coronado, Chief Economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks so much and enjoy the snow.
I will. Thank you.
To China now, where the government raised interest rates again over the weekend. This is the second hike in just over 2 months as the Chinese government tries to curb inflation there. So what does the move mean for us? Here's the BBC's Nick Mackey.
It came as a surprise, but it wasn't necessarily a gift. On Christmas Day, the People's Bank of China increased interest rates. The Chinese government is clearly determined to rein in inflation, for soaring property and consumer goods prices threaten social stability. And according to Justin Urquhart-Stewart, director of Seven Investment Management, the impact of the hike will be felt globally.
This is China trying to apply the brakes to slow down the economy. That then has an impact on terms of demand from the rest of the world.
Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao said on Sunday he had confidence that the measures will dampen the economy, which has seen inflation jump to the highest level in 2 years. China last raised interest rates in mid-October. Then commodity and mining stocks tumbled and the US dollar strengthened against the euro. For Americans and Europeans, economic recovery or otherwise is now heavily influenced by decisions made in China. From Chongqing, I'm the BBC's Nick Mackey for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
Well, another Christmas is over, so what are you going to do with that tree and all that crumpled up wrapping paper? Well, before you chuck it all in the garbage, we've asked our sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill, to join us for some holiday recycling tips. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So all that wrapping paper, can I just throw that in the recycling bin?
Probably. Most places will take plain wrapping paper, but you might want to double check. The foil paper, the shiny, glittery stuff can be a no-go. If you have to toss it, if you didn't rip it all to shreds, you could use it again next year. Or you could get super crafty and make gift tags or fluff for bags, right? Yeah?
I'm not sure I'm going to be that crafty, Adrian, but I get where you're coming from. What about the Christmas tree? What's the best way to get rid of that?
Well, lots of cities and communities have programs where you can bring your tree, or they'll pick it up and turn it into mulch. Some parts of the country get a bit more creative. In Louisiana, they use old Christmas trees for coast restoration around the marshes. And if you're in a rural area and have a fish pond, Missouri recommends putting the tree right in the pond. Fish love the little nooks and crannies a tree can provide. But don't toss it in the garbage. Trees can take up a lot of space in landfills, and in some places it's illegal.
All right, so what else you got? What are the other tips to keep this Christmas nice and green?
Well, if you got new shiny gadgets and electronics, don't just toss the old ones. Look for a place that might recycle it, that will take e-waste and repurpose some of the resources that went into making it. Best Buy is now recycling most electronics, no matter where you bought them.
All right, so it's all about repurposing, recycling. What about re-gifting, Adrian? Is that a good thing to do?
It's a great thing to do. Regifting is recycling, really. I met a guy named Edward Acosta who said if his kids get two of the same thing, one of those might wind up regifted.
My kids, they get some duplicate of the toys and stuff. So what I do is some of them I return it, and some of them my wife said to keep it and regifted it to somebody who had a birthday or something.
He says it's worked out pretty well. But Jeremy, the trick is to keep track of the person who gave you those reindeer socks so you don't actually give them back to that same person.
That could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, while we're on the subject of a green Christmas, listen to this. In the Netherlands, they've been getting some wintry weather just like us, and the police there are scanning the rooftops that are not covered with snow. That, they say, is because a clear roof is a good indication that hot attic lights are on, as in lights for the illegal growing of a certain plant. I don't think they're talking about mistletoe. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Nine out of 10 strawberries in this country come from California, and they are delicious, but how do you keep them that way?
You know, if you have some type of pest outbreak in your house, the first thing you do is you pull out some ant spray or something like that.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. New pesticides coming soon to a strawberry near you. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.